Well, the economy is a byproduct of the entire fabric and rubric of how a nation should be run. So you can actually have a functional economy, but if the other ducks are not in a row, then you don't have a functional state. So the challenge we have in Zimbabwe is that everything, every institution and every matrix has collapsed and is in a state of disjuncture. So you need a holistic approach to recalibrate and refabricate Zimbabwe as a nation state. And that refabrication and recalibration must start with the matrix of inclusivity, must start with the matrix of respect, of equality, of good governance, of constitutionalism, and the rule of law. All these things must be, fall into place squarely. So in other words, we have to build a sustainable state, and part of building a sustainable state obviously and naturally includes an economy. On the economy, there are very few things that are needed to be done. Number one is crafting of a proper economic program and agenda that is realistic, practical, honest, and executable. And I believe that as PDP, we've done this through our HOPE program, the Holistic Program for Economic Transformation. Number two, what is required is, of course, the competence of execution, the craft competence, which clearly is lacking in ZANU-PF at the present moment. Most importantly, we have to restore the social contract. The big thing that ZANU-PF suffers from is that nobody trusts them, nobody believes them. And whatever they may do, nobody takes them seriously. So without the restoration of a social contract, any economic agenda, any economic program will fall to nothing. But quite clearly, the key things right now on the economy per se, speaking now as a technician, are the questions of macroeconomic stability, the questions of resilience, capacity, resolving the debt crisis, resolving the massive gross capital formation challenges, i.e. the challenges around infrastructure, on electricity, on the roads, on the railway. So, and then, of course, altering the accumulation model, which is false. It's more than 100 years after colonialism, but the accumulation model remains that of processing raw materials. No economy can progress if its accumulation model remains stuck in the past. So those are key issues that we deal with in HOPE, which have to be dealt with urgently by any government.
But talking about the nation's debt, last week, Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa said he had crafted a plan that had been received by the World Bank that will see Zimbabwe paying more than $1 billion to its creditors by April next year. How realistic is this?
Well, firstly, to get into full details of that, we probably need another program. But what I can say in short is that the donors will not come to the table if there is no structural reform in the country. At the present moment, Zimbabwe has not earned the right of engagement. Yeah. Number two is, of course, the key indicator of indigenization and empowerment. You and I know that as long as we keep on having this law that says 51% of any investment has to be taken away by locals, it won't work. That law doesn't exist in any other part of the world. So if this government is serious, repeal the Indigenization Empowerment Act, show that you are serious about the inclusive matrix of investment. Number three, another clear marker is macroeconomic stability. You eat what you kill. This government has got a budget deficit of 14%. It suffers from a disease called fiscalitis. You spend money as if it grows on trees. This show that you can balance your books, you can live within your means as a rudimentary structural benchmark. It's not there. Then number four, this government can't expect debt relief without telling us where Itai Dzamara is. without accounting for Gugura Hundi, without accounting for the thousands of us who died during the 2008 violence. In other words, the rule of law is key. Electoral reform is key. So this government will not expect the white person and his money to get parted if it hasn't dealt with all these key issues of reform. So the bottom line is that whatever Chinamasa does, the bottom line is, is this regime prepared to effect reform? And I can tell you, Mkoma Blessing, that as long as Robert Mugabe is alive and as long as you have all these critical elements in ZANU-PF, some of whom have already started attacking Chinamasa. I make reference, for instance, to the comments and the bullets that have been unleashed by Juau and Mutsango. So ZANU-PF cannot implement the reforms, and everyone is going along pretending that there's something because no one has been asked to put money on the table. But once you start asking money to people to put money on the table, they'll ask you the hard questions. Also, Chinamasa is not being upfront. When is he going to get the $1 billion that is going to get the World Bank? So from a technical point of view, you can't embark on debt relief on the basis of contracting another huge debt of another $1 billion and more. So the whole thing is a fiction. The whole thing is cartoon. The whole thing is laughing stock, which is why I said it requires another program so that I can go into fuller details, which I can do in the context of this interview.
You have talked about a transitional authority to rescue Zimbabwe. If you can explain that a little bit.
Well, we have, you know, what we said when we launched our movement was that one of the things we have been lacking in the past 15 years when we tried to dislodge Robert Mugabe is that we have been singing so many slogans, Pasina ningi, ningi mudenga, and that has gotten us nowhere. So it's time to think. So the PPP has run two documents, arrest and hope. And in arrest is a political strategy. The country needs a soft landing. The country needs to be massaged and eased into an era of reform, resilience, and sustainability. We tried to do that in the GNU, but we failed. Some of us in the GNU went to sleep, a big topic on its own. So to create a soft landing, create a national transitional authority. The key functions of the national transitional authority will be the following. Number one, to deal with the issue of the economy, what we're calling ZEST, the Zimbabwe Emergency Stabilization Strategy. Number two, deal with the issue of harmonizing our laws to the new constitution. Number three, just deal with the issue of stability and politics. There's a danger that the securocrats, with the statement that they are making, that they might actually want to descend into the political arena. So political stability must be dealt with and must be maintained. Number four, deal with the issue of electoral reform. What we are in arrest, we're calling coffee, the conditions for a free and fair election. Then lastly, deal with the issues of the restoration of the social contract. Zimbabwe right now is at war with itself. We are cannibalizing itself. There is bohemianism. Every newspaper you read, there is rapes, there is all kind of unbelievable things. So quite clearly, we need some kind of reconciliation, some kind of healing. So the restoration of social contract is something that has to be done by the NTA as well. So the NTA, I can't see any option. Otherwise, this country will implode, will have spontaneous combustion in the form of a coup, particularly given the incentives that will be a fight. Now we've got a group called the G40s. Now we've got another group called the Behind Grace Mugabe, and so forth. The hatred is endless. And in order to ensure that we create an inclusive platform that sets this country on an agenda of total resilience and inclusivity, the National Transitional Authority is a starting point.
And let's also talk about the issue of elections. The opposition parties, your party included, they've been boycotting the elections, but many Zimbabweans are saying there appear to be no plan B because there is no push on, there is no one who is really pushing ZANU-PF to institute those reforms.
Look, two things which you mentioned there which are key. The first one is that it behoves my wisdom that we can't find a common platform of convergence as political parties on one issue that we all know, we all agree on, which is the issue that we need electoral reform, among other things, just like we need media reform, just like we need the demilitarization of our state. And if you look at the state of the opposition, you know, I was reading about five data funeral recently. It looks like we are getting more and more divided, which is why in the past, personally, I've actually apologized for the collective stupidity of Zimbabweans, because this country is bleeding. And to create another Zimbabwe, we have to come and work together. So for some of us, we're going to work tirelessly to ensure that we bring Zimbabweans together, because no one is strong enough to deal with all these problems in their own little tent. It's not possible. But coming to the issue of COFI, the conditions for a free and fair election, you cannot go to the next election without these conditions, which include the introduction of a biometric voters' roll, which includes the demilitarization of the election, which includes media reform, legislative reform, including the realignment of our laws to the Constitution. That has to happen. Now, the key question you ask me is that, would the elections in 2018 be boycotted? I prefer to be positive. And our submission, which we make in arrest, is that there will be an election in 2018 which will participate, but there will be reforms. So we will have to demand by hook and crook those fundamental reforms that will ensure that Zimbabweans can choose a government of their own choice and we can move forward. And as opposition political parties, we can control. If we were to come together and speak with one voice, we can make those demands. And number two, let's create the platform that will excite Zimbabwean people. I will submit that if we stand in our little corners, we are not going to excite anyone. Let's come together on the basis of value and principle, find a new face for our struggle, and contest the 2018 election. That way, we'll give Zimbabweans a chance to create the Zimbabwe they deserve, because truly speaking, another Zimbabwe is as inevitable as it is desirable.
You also cited in your documents when the PDP was launched that you are willing to engage other parties. Is this process started?
Yes, we have already started engaging. If you looked at our convention on the 10th of September, we had the Vice President of ZAPU, Emilia Mkaratirwa, the Vice President of the MDC, Edwin Mshoriwa, Comrade Jabulani Sibanda from People First. We had a representative of the NCA, Dr. Maduku Kunkam. He was in exam. So we are already speaking to people, and we've been speaking to people, we are speaking to people, and we'll continue speaking to Zimbabweans, because there is no other way out. So, look, if we fail to do this, then forget about another Zimbabwe in 2018. We have to come together as Zimbabweans.
And your take on the People First project, are you willing to engage them, or have you started engaging them as well?
We are engaging them. The liberation movement is important. And as far as we are concerned, the People First represents the liberation movement. They are part of ZANU-PF. And if you look, this is a sign. If you look at anywhere in Africa where there's been democratic change, it has been a combination of components of the nationalist movement, the past, the heritage, plus the post-liberation Democrats. So the equation has been the past plus the present equals the future. So the People First are not so important as individuals and personalities, and I won't speak about any personality. They are important in that they represent the protest of the nationalist movement to its post-independent byproduct, i.e. how the nationalist movement is mismanaging the post-independent state. So they are protesting. So the nationalist movement, when it splits, that component knows that there is unfinished business. But in this unfinished business, we have to work with others. And that is why the nationalist movement in its split is important, because we need them to fight this fight. But this fight is now our fight. They fought their fight on one man, one vote. This is now our fight for jobs, for democratization of our people, for equality, the language that otherwise was not found in the liberation movement. So the past plus the present equals the future. But on the terms of the future, on the terms of what I normally call the IPAC generation. So we are not seeking to create a super ZANU-PF. We are seeking to create a super democratic political coalition in order to dismantle the failed nationalist project.